It's Friday, June 3rd, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today in the program, we're in the book of Psalms. We're in Psalm 139, with part 3 of the message titled, Knowing God.
And what should be the response to these great truths of God? How does God know everything about me? My thoughts, my plans, my purposes, my words, even before I speak it. And the answer is, from the psalmist, because he made you. He formed you. Every voice box is unique. Everything about you is unique.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn to Psalm 139. This morning, that's found on page 618, 618 in the Bibles that are in front of you. We looked at the first part of this psalm last week. Today we conclude our study in this psalm. Psalm 139. Our text will be really 13 to the end of the chapter. I'm going to back up and read the entirety of the psalm. Let's give our attention this morning to the wonderful word of the Lord. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Oh, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Well, this is obviously a very profound psalm and lots to think about with regard to this psalm. David was facing some kind of trial or test in this life. And what we are learning from the psalm is really wonderful for how to get up in difficult moments of life, in confusing moments, in moments of depression and difficulty. The real source of his strength comes from a knowledge of who God is, a knowledge of his attributes. That's what this psalm is really caught up. That's what David is caught up with. He is thinking thoughts of God as God has revealed himself and God has said wonderful things of what he is like to us. He's been given the categories to think. There was really something wonderful Friday night in Anaheim with AGR. Dr. Riddlebarger said something so interesting, I thought, that is just important to remember. The reason Ben Sasse is dying well before us, he's on 60 Minutes, and He's teaching us how to die well. Dr. Ritterbarger said something so helpful in the midst of that conversation, which I commended to you. He said, it's because he has the categories he's been trained with how to think when these times of trials come. Pancreatic cancer at 53. And he says there's not one rogue molecule in the body. That's categorically how he thinks because he's been trained to think this way. And that's why I tell people, if you're not growing in the word and you're not receiving the means and scriptures that are being deeply impressed upon your heart and your mind, you're only setting yourself up for difficulty when the trial comes. The psalm is helpful to us. He is comforted in the light of whatever he's facing with this truth, which is a hard truth for people. God actually cares about him. God actually cares about him. He is safe in the Lord's loving care, in his arms of protection. It is quite a truth, beloved, that God takes interest in us. What is man that you're mindful of him? It is really remarkable that he takes interest in us and loves his people whom he made for his glory. And that's hard for sinners to comprehend. That's hard for us to understand. That's what we're wrestling with in the course of this psalm. David here is caught up in wonderful thoughts of God. He is really enjoying God as we are created to do, not just to glorify him, but to enjoy him. We studied the first two attributes the psalm brings out, his omniscience and his omnipresence. Beautiful truths about God, that he is all-knowing, that he knows everything, and that he is everywhere present with us, his people. And I think the remarkable truth of the psalm, as we looked at, is this was not a dreadful thing for David, that he knows our thoughts, that he knows our ways before a word is spoken. He knows it all together. Everything that he would think and say and do. He could even have the perspective in verse 5 that still God, and this is the picture of the believer's life, God has hedged us in. He has a giant hedge of protection around us. Remember, that's what Job learned. That's what Satan knew of Job. There's a reason he fears you. You hedged him in. You've put all a hedge around him and his family. That's the loving protection, protecting care of God for us. Your right hand had always been upon me, he says. And he was moved with God's omnipresence. That there is nowhere, there's no circumstance. There's no circumstance of life, death, distance, darkness, he said. Remember? That could separate us from him. Anticipating the glorious truth of Romans 8. I think that when Paul wrote that, he was thinking of Psalm 139. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. God is always near. God is with us. And that's the source, this truth of how he went forward in the difficulties of life. So this psalm has inspired worship. This psalm has inspired praise. He's not like the gods that people serve that can do nothing for them. Remember, we looked at a few weeks ago, Uzzah touching the ark, and the Philistines put their gods on carts because they could touch them and nothing would happen. Gods that cannot speak, that cannot talk, that cannot see, the gods of wood and stone. And here, who we're dealing with is the God who formed everything, who made everything, and who cares about us. God wants you to know he does not leave his people, that he desires this kind of confidence for his people. And so after thinking about his omniscience and omnipresence, he now turns to the final sort of great accented attribute of this psalm, which is his omnipotence, his exceedingly great power. And what should be the response to these great truths of God? How does God know everything about me? My thoughts, my plans, my purposes, my words, even before I speak it. And the answer is, from the psalmist, because he made you. He formed you. I said last week, it would be boring if we all looked the same, wouldn't it? Every voice box is unique. Everything about you is unique. This is what the psalmist is caught up in. So David traces such power and care from the earliest moments of his existence at conception, all the way through to the end, till death. And he has this perspective of God. He has this understanding of God. For you formed me in my inward parts. Notice that, inward parts, verse 13. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there were none of them. You ever thought how profound that is? All of this is in Christ. And I could see Christ praying this prayer, hearing Christ pray this prayer as a body was prepared for him to save us and to die for us. But here's what I emphasized last week, because I think that, as Dr. Godfrey always says about the Psalms, they are the prayers of God's people. And so this is true of you. This was true of David. It seems to me the great problem, as I said last time, is that we're all trying to hide our lives. We don't let anyone in. We hold cards close. Why do we do that? Why do you do that? You may not even let your spouse in very close. That complaint's real. Why do you do that? Well, it's because you're afraid people will judge you. You're afraid they're not going to like what they see. If you have any conception of your heart, you know it's not always pretty in there. And so many of us are closed off people. Many of us are closed off people. And we present ourselves in the best possible way that we can on the outside. And we don't trust people anymore. There have been too many sorrows, too many pains, too much damage. And the aloneness feels safe to us. The aloneness feels safe. But it's a great void. Who can we trust? Who understands us? Who knows us? David is describing that it's not like this with God. The one to whom it matters, the one who knows you. Now, how can you come to that kind of confidence with him? I would think that working from the greater to the lesser, if you can trust him, then you can let your guard down with others. Notice here in this psalm, the complete absence of any consideration till the end, when he is asked to direct his life, of sin. Now, that's not because the psalmist isn't sinful or conceived and born in sin, as David says, or that God doesn't take sin seriously. God takes sin seriously. Look at the cross. But it's because the psalm is looking at his own creation, his own body, his own life, and the relationship that he has with his creator in the knowledge of redemption. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have, Isaiah said, formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I've redeemed you. Now there's the life of repentance. When you return to God and you understand you've been redeemed and covered and sheltered and loved, this is the result, an open kind of understanding and trust and childlike awe that this God is for you and not against you. Shout to the lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed you and glorified himself in Israel. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. See? I am the Lord who makes all things. Let's look at this all differently now. Who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. This is what the walk of God, with God should become. I think sometimes because of our correct doctrine of sin and hearing how important it is to hear about the sinful nature, which you have to constantly preach, we then forget that we still are the creative handiwork of God. And he wants us to consider here what he made. You have to understand this about him. When you are in Christ and you are a redeemed child and you are saved, you are loved. He doesn't look at his covenant child or his little infants. This is why baptism is important. And say, oh, I'm sick of them. Sure, in sin we are conceived. But that's not the doctrine here he's emphasizing. Here the psalmist celebrates the work of God's hand because he knows that what God made is very good. David is thinking with redeemed eyes in Christ and a forgiven life. Blessed is he whose sins are forgiven. We are made so calculated, so precise, so glorious, that you need to think about how you're made and constructed at times. And that it should lead you to fear and admonition, admiration and praise. He is caught up here in thoughts of God's greatness and that he is awesome in his creative power, omnipotence. He is as a master craftsman, Proverbs 8. Wisdom forming us, making us, skillfully wrought in the lower parts of the earth. You ever seen a newborn baby come out? There's a few moments in life you're absolutely stunned. I think one of those moments is what I saw last night in the wedding, the Van Damme wedding, and Kellyanne comes in and she's absolutely stunning, and Braden next to me is bawling. Like, this is the greatest moment. This must have been like what it was in the Garden of Eden. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He was so excited. I got all worked up. The other great moment is when you're standing there in the hospital room and you see the baby come. That, I can't get over that. Still can't. Now, I wasn't suffering. I shouldn't have said that. As one pastor said, every little baby is of microscopic cells so small that if you were to write the letter G, that size of letter would contain 30 to 40,000 of these cells. Each cell has 200 trillion little tiny molecules of atoms. It's like a micro universe, and they are well over 100 trillion of these. Every minute, 3 billion cells die in your body and are replaced with 3 billion more, everything working together, firing at the right time so that you're here right now. I mean, come on. And somebody wants to say this bang together. Can't convince me this is by chance. David is in awe that God made him. By the way, we're the ones that have destroyed the womb. David is moved by this. He's oh, God fashioned him, and he's concluded his words on the attributes saying, he didn't just make me, he considers me. He considers me from my individuality in the womb. God knew me and ordained for me what my life is to be. That's purpose. That's meaning. That's just, it's overwhelming to think about. Verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. All the days are fashioned. All the days are designed and decreed. Your God can't live in a beetle's hole, as Luther said to Erasmus. You have a weak God. No. This is an omnipotent God. This is one who's in control of every molecule in your body, as Ben Sasse has said. Your life is marked out. Your days are numbered. Now, doesn't that take away anxiety? It should. You're not in control of your life. Jesus told us to remember we have a God. Which of you by worrying can add a single day to your life? That theology is in Psalm 139. His care is always there. He fashioned me. He fashioned our days. He's taken our days and written them in a book. His decrees. How meaningful is that, beloved? The psalmist says, the one who made you loves you. The one who made you is the one who truly cares for you. The one who made you is the one who gives meaning to life, because you are a creature that he formed. And what did he say about his creation? It's good. And his care is always present with us. Leads us to the final breath, marked out of everything. What my days were, what I would accomplish, what I would be. Verse 18, when I awake, I'm still with you. What does that mean? It could mean sleep. I mean, every night you go to sleep, and when you awake, he's still with you. But it probably means death. That doesn't separate you. As for me, I see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awaken your likeness. Psalm 17. All of this has left the psalmist in awe. Now, what has that done to you, right? What has that done? Awe of God. Your thoughts are precious to me. See, we don't do this enough. And that's why we're in the doldrums often. When things get hard, this is an answer. You need perspective of power, real power. He's caught up in God's omniscience. He's caught up in God's omnipresence. He's caught up in his omnipotence. And you come back to the original point of the psalm that lifted him out of the depression of life. What does that knowledge do for somebody? It doesn't leave us non-responsive. You don't just come here and say, oh, when does the sermon get over? It doesn't do that, right? I want to get out and do my thing. Doesn't make us empty. It doesn't make us cold.
That's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for part 4 of this message from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until then, God bless.